Senator Boniff, welcome to the Tax Committee. Members, we've got a pretty aggressive agenda here today. We've got seven bills on. Senator Boniff has another commitment, so we put her up first. Senator Boniff?
Thank you, Mr.
Senate File 215-9.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm here with a TIF bill for the Glen Haven Redevelopment District, and I'm here with Julie Wishnack from she's the Community Development Director with the City of Minnetonka. And just a few things to say about this bill. I was a Minnetonka Planning Commissioner, and we first started looking at redeveloping this particular area in Minnetonka called the Glen Lake area. And when we first started developing it, the community was very concerned about it. It meant, you know, long time homeowners looking at relocating, taking existing businesses like the Golden Nugget, which is where everybody ate their hamburgers, and moving it. And it was really tore the community apart for some time. And then they actually, through wonderful management and consensus building skills, pulled everybody together and got consensus around how this project was going to go forward. And so right now we're asking for an extension to the TIF district because there's been, due to the economic times, a slowdown in the housing market. And so with that, I will let Julie talk about that problem and what we're here for today.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Really, it really does end up in the economy situation.
Ms. Wishnack, we need your name and
who
you represent for the record.
Yes, Julie Wishnack. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Minnetonka. The issue is that the project was originally intended for condominium units and was planned about 2.5 to 3 years ago. And obviously the condominium market has taken a decline significantly. And so really what we're trying to do is reestablish this redevelopment into a new kind of project. We do have someone interested in phase two. Phase one is built. Excuse me. Phase one is built. Phase two is ready to be built this year as a senior affordable project. And so we're very excited about that. Unfortunately, though, phase three, which is still planned for condominiums, will take some time. The economy has to recover, and obviously we need an extension to deal with that. And so we respectfully request the 7-year extension to this TIF district.
And Ms. Wishnack, how many year TIF is it?
I'm sorry, what?
How many year TIF is it?
It's a 15-year TIF entirely.
And how many years into it are you?
We are year two.
Year two?
Right.
And you already think you need a 7-year extension when you're only 2 years in?
I do, yes. Unfortunately, the economy is not supportive of the condominium project. The condominium portion of the project is on Glen Lake itself. It doesn't present itself as a rental project, so we would not be able to build that project in the near future. 2012 is the earliest we think that project will be under construction.
It seems a little unusual to come for an extension when you're only 2 years into it.
Understood.
Any questions, members? If not, the chair will lay over Senate File 259 for consideration for the omnibus bill. Thank you, Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Senator Sharon, welcome to the Tax Committee. Which bill would you like to take first?
We're going to take Senate File 62.
Okay, Senate File 62 is in front of the committee.
Senate File 62 is a request for change in tax increment financing district in order to include some additional parcels. That's the essential request. The change assists a community of North Mankato to allow the TIF district to expand to include the full downtown redevelopment site. You have materials in front of you. If you turn to page, I think it's, if you count in, it's seven pages, but it's labeled six at the top of the materials that you've received. And as I talk about this, if you look at that picture, I think what I'm talking about will make more sense to you. On the page that I'm directing you to, it says Exhibit 3 at the top of the page, and on the lower part of the picture is written Belgrade Avenue. The current TIF district includes that first parcel along Belgrade Avenue, and what we're talking about is including another parcel behind that in expanding, therefore, the dimensions of the district. It's an integral part of North Mankato's downtown redevelopment plan. The downtown redevelopment was identified in North Mankato as the top community project for North Mankato and Mankato together as twin cities of southern Minnesota as a part of our recent strategic planning effort in that area. It's called Envision 2020. The plan is the result of a community-wide effort to create a vision for what the two communities can achieve by the year 2020. The proposed modifications are technical in nature, and the change is required because this original tax increment financing district had a project proposal, a hotel development, that would have had height to it. It would have gone up rather than extended over a larger property. But that project did not come to fruition. It was in its development right around the same time as 9/11, and a number of investments went away in our community at that time, and this is one of them. So what was anticipated to occur on that land did not occur. There's now another development proposal, but that development proposal requires a different kind of landscape. The land that we're talking about adding into this district is owned by North Mankato's Port Authority. So by allowing this land to come together as one tax increment district, the development site is the size that's needed for the new development proposal and will allow for the kind of parking needs that they have. The money that will be used in this district will be for public purposes. I think I'll leave my comments at that. If you have questions, I have with me the city administrator for North Mankato, Wendell Sandy, and I'm really pleased to introduce you to the mayor of North Mankato, is here to answer questions for you. Gary Zellner.
Thank you, Senator Sharon, and thank the committee for hearing us this morning. I apologize, my voice is barely there, and I'll try and keep it short, but this is an extremely important project for us.
Mr. Mayor, we need your name.
Gary Zellner, Mayor of the City of North Mankato. This project has been one of the goals that I've had since I've been in elected office, and I'm on my seventh year now, and it's been the major project in North Mankato for close to 20 years. This is the closest we've been to getting this project going, and it's the key piece to our redevelopment as well as the gateway into North Mankato, and it's also the exit way into Mankato. And both cities are here today, both of us with projects that are extremely important to our downtown redevelopment. So we would appreciate your consideration of this. And we should mention that Deed has already been a partner in this. They've put money into this project as well as private funding as well as money from the city of North Mankato. So for us, we're really excited about this. It's as close as we've been, and we'd really like to have this opportunity to be able to recoup the funds that we put into this now over the past roughly 20 years.
Mr. Mayor, the Phase 2 project, will that happen if we don't do the TIF? Does that project stand on its own?
That project without the TIF is probably not going to happen because it's all part of the entire package.
But it captures additional increment to make the first phase work, right?
Correct.
The first phase is already built?
No. Nothing has been – they haven't broken ground yet. They're going to be breaking ground this spring on the first phase. And that is ready to go. They've already leased the first two floors, and they've sold condominiums on the second floor or the third floor already. So that project is ready to go.
So the first phase has a full development agreement, though, so that once it starts, it'll be built out?
That's correct. There is a comprehensive agreement for development of the whole site.
And what is it that happened that district, now when there's a full development agreement, doesn't has a $600,000 shortfall before it's even started.
Senator, I'm Wendell Sandy, City Administrator for North Mankato. The original tax increment district was established on the site of an old dairy that we took down, and the original idea was that it would fit, the development would fit on that site. This new development that we've entered into an agreement for is a much larger development in terms of what it covers on the site, and it requires the additional real estate. The additional real estate has been acquired by the city through its port authority. The extension of the district to include that will allow us to recoup more of our original investment in the site. We have approximately $1 million invested in all the acquisitions and demolitions and remediations that have happened up to this point. The extension of the district to include the second phase of this project would allow us to recoup basically the second half of our investment.
So were those original infrastructure costs higher than you anticipated they were going to be? Or how is it you got $600,000 in the red on it?
They were because the original site was assumed to be a tall building on a smaller site. The later development proposals required additional real estate, and additional real estate was acquired to make that happen.
Senator Sharon?
I think what you're asking is how come there's already, if there's not a development, where is this expenditure? There was a proposal, and this expenditure occurred in order to support the infrastructure for a proposal that did not occur after 9/11. So there was an expenditure in a district that did not get developed. So this is a prime piece of property that's the target of economic development visioning. And so now a new proposal, a different one that requires a different land layout, has come in front of as an opportunity. It's secured in the sense that there are these agreements are established, but it requires a change in the size of the district in order for it to be able to make sense on this piece of property.
So is there a development agreement for phase one and phase two completely? So is it one project or two?
Yeah, it is actually two or potentially three buildings under two different agreements.
And are there development agreements for one phase, two phases, or all three phases?
For two phases. The second phase would comprise potentially two buildings.
And that's on the
that's on the
extended
expansion
piece
area
of the land.
That's correct.
And the waive of the five-year rule?
Simply that we did not expand the district within the original time frame, not realizing, of course, that we were going to need to do that at the time. So the limitation now would be a problem for us and would need to be waived in order for us to put the two together.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sharon, I'm looking at this map of page 6 of 8, the seventh one in. I think that's the one you referred us to. Can you just put this into context for me where this is and how large this second addition is in relation to the first? This map is colored. I assume it was colored at one point.
This does look like this.
Yeah, the one we have isn't colored, so I can't make much sense of it.
You're looking at this. Does it say, can you identify what it says at the top? Does it
exhibit
say exhibit?
Three.
In terms of, Senator, in terms of the relative size, this parcel overall is 2.8 acres, and the area, the northerly half of the site, is just a little over half of that amount, so approximately about 1.45 acres.
And north
There's
is
not
up?
North is up on the map, correct.
And, Mr. Chair, and the LAM second edition is the part that you're adding to the TIF district, or that's the first part of the TIF district?
That is the portion to be added.
To be added. Okay, thank you.
If you visited the site, I mean, it is one, it appears to be one site. It has all been cleared. All the structures are removed, and it is now ready for redevelopment. It appears to the naked eye as a single parcel.
Did Dan talk to you about a residence?
Senator Sharon,
what?
I understand the five-year rule, but are you requesting an extension of the duration of the established TIF district or not?
No.
Do you want me to
know
the rules first or just take it up?
Okay. That's helpful. Any other questions, members? If not, Chair Lee is over Senate File 62. Senator Sharon, Senate File 63.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Bach. This is the second request from our area. As the committee may know, Mankato, North Mankato area has been determined MSA area, so we are now the Twin Cities area of greater Minnesota. And the two cities are here today. I'm very excited about their being here today to make these requests in front of you. I'm here with you today with the city manager for the city of Mankato, Pat Henches, and on my right is Ed Cheetah, who has worked with the city of Mankato enabling the language to be presented to the reviser for us to be able to address the issues for Mankato today, and they'll be here to answer any questions that you have. You also have some materials with you that give you some visual images of the area that we are talking about. Mankato has an existing tax increment district, a financing district, in an area in Mankato called South Riverfront. It's a redevelopment area in Mankato, downtown area. However, the city is working on a South Riverfront development project which extends beyond this original TIF district. Senate File 63, which is in front of you, will allow increments from the existing tax increment district to be used anywhere in the South Riverfront redevelopment project area. So I would emphasize that this request is asking for money that has been earned in one already defined tax increment financing district to be used outside of that district. The city aims to spend about $1 million in additional TIF revenues to finance only public development project improvements. Local approval would be required. Additionally, increments would only be allowed to be used on allowable expenditures under the district's plan budget. We have, and there should be among your materials, support letters from the school district and from the county that would have been receiving any excess revenues from the original tax increment district. DEED has awarded a total of $1.68 million in grants to support Phase 1 and Phase 2 of this Sibley Park redevelopment project. Planning and designing and engineering for Phase 2 and 3 began in 2008. Infrastructure improvements are scheduled for completion within the next year. This and the other requests we had from North Mankato have great potential for creating jobs in our area. The total costs of Phase 2 and 3 are estimated to be about $6.193 million. The $1 million in an additional TIF revenue would be very helpful in helping Mankato meet this goal. I think with that, if it's clear that what's being asked is to use $1 million of increment from an existing TIF district to be used outside of the district is the essence of the bill.
And that's excess increment over and above what that district needs? Mr. Henches.
Chairman Bach, Pat Henches, Mankato City Manager. Originally, we intended to use a significant portion of that $1 million in the original district with the establishment of an intersection project. We were unable to acquire the property at that time. The second phase of this redevelopment project, the Riverfront Redevelopment Project, which we obtained the grants and other activities, involves basically moving that intersection about 250 feet to the east of its original location to an area where we have been able to acquire property. So essentially, we're coupling the excess TIF that we accumulated from the first redevelopment district and moving it about 250 feet. And unfortunately, the district started in 2000, and we were unable to start this second phase and establish that intersection during that five-year rule.
But the intersection is still in the original district?
The original intersection was in the district. We're moving this intersection 250 feet outside of the original district.
But it's the same, I mean, the intent is the same, it's just on a different parcel?
The intent is essentially the same, establishing the district or establishing this intersection to the betterment of the overall redevelopment area.
So the only issue with moving the increment outside the district is the fact that the location of the intersection moved? Or are there other issues?
Mr. Chair, the other issue essentially is that we did not expend that increment within that first 5 years. So it's a combination of both moving it outside of the originally established district and not spending it within the first 5 years. We are on the seventh year of the original district.
Senator Rest.
So, Senator Sharon, why not just establish a new district and shut down the old one if you're not going to use it?
Because of the money, right?
You know, because
the increment is in the first district. It's unexpended increment in the first district.
And it's not going to, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharon, and there's no intention of spending the money, the increment, in the original district. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, the intent was to establish, the intent was to spend it within the area originally.
I understand that, but you're not going to do that.
We've been unable to do that to the betterment of the overall area. If we shut down the district, we will not accumulate in the new redeveloped area enough increment to accomplish this project.
Senator Rest, there would not be any increment in the new district.
So what happened was a piece of the infrastructure that you had intended to build in the district, you weren't able to acquire the land, and the location of the interchange had to move and actually ended up moved outside of the district. But it always was intended to be a piece of the district. Not just because of the location, it's outside. Senator Rest, do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand it.
And there's no increment.
Senator Bach, would you say more, Senator Rest, as to what it is that you're... I'm not sure I'm clear
well,
about what it is you're seeking from us.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Sharon, I get very uncomfortable when people want to be excused from the five-year rule. Spending in the district, and it's been 7 years and haven't been able to make a go of this project, and then to spend it outside of the project area. I mean, that's why you're here, because it's special legislation, but it doesn't seem to me to be particularly good planning, I guess. Just reaction.
So
you know, it's probably a great plan.
Mr. Henschies, does the interchange still serve the project how it was intended? It's just in a different location? I mean, does the interchange still serve the district?
Chairman Bach, we accomplished everything within that district in terms of public infrastructure. And in this particular case, the redevelopment was quite extensive, but it involved some road improvements, but the intersection. And that was the final piece that helped the redevelopment for the overall area. Now we have a second phase of redevelopment underway, and the intersection is a critical component to completing the second phase of redevelopment. And the funding from the original tax increment district is essential to completing the second phase of redevelopment.
But the first phase is completely built out?
The first phase is completely built out, and we expended all the public expenditures that were necessary to get that phase underway. As I pointed out, we always anticipated a second phase component of this redevelopment with the establishment of this intersection.
Mr. Chair.
Senator, go ahead.
I don't think you answered Senator Bach's question. Is the function of the interchange the same and serve the same purpose now as it did when it was in the district? The function of the interchange is the same?
Chairman Bach, Senator Skoy, yes, essentially the accomplishment is to begin to stimulate redevelopment for this second phase. So essentially the purpose of this intersection, even in the first phase, was to help with access to this second phase area. And now the other pieces have come in place for that second phase. We would have put the intersection in initially, but we were unable to acquire some private property that was necessary to accomplish that the first time around.
So, Mr. Henchies, if we tightened up the language so that the exception to the five-year rule only applied to the interchange, would that be acceptable?
Senator Bach, we're only going to use it on the intersection, correct? And that we can live with.
Then it doesn't become a general exception to the five-year rule. Any other questions, members? Not. Chair lays over Senate File 63 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you, Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Representatives from Mankato. Upstairs. Senator Weir. Senator Weir, welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, committee members. Senate File 151 is brought by the City of Oakdale. It is a technical correction to action by the legislature in the previous session, which extended the duration of two TIF districts in Oakdale. In the revisor's bill, the bill neglected to include two PIN identifications for the Oakdale Mall. And so we have already approved this, but it was not included in technically the parcel identification in the revisor's bill. But the Oakdale Mall, which is a 180,000 square foot facility that is basically vacant, we had testimony on this before, but the identification of that is what's addressed in the bill. You have previously acted on the substance of the extension for the two different TIF districts. So the technical correction is the focus of Senate File 151. I do have the city manager, Craig Waldron, and the community development director, Bob Streetar, here if there are questions.
Senator Weger, I remember we spent quite a bit of time in the conference committee trying to convince the House that the Senate was right. And I think we got most of what we needed. And
we appreciate
it was
that.
Always our intent that the Tanner Lake property and the Oakdale Mall property be included. So what we have here is just an omission of the parcel numbers for the mall property. Is that what happened somehow in the drafting of the legislation? Is that the
yes.
total? Mr. Waldron, is that the total of the bill?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's just the two PIN numbers.
Sorry to make you come down here for that. Any questions, members? Mr. Waldron, Mr. Streeter, thank you. Senator Weger, thank you. Senate File 151 is laid over for the omnibus bill.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
That's easy enough. Do we have Senator Metz here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Tax Committee. This legislation, Senate File 226, is brought to me from the City Council and the HRA Authority in South St. Paul. At first blush, it looks a little unusual, but I'm going to explain to you that the whole situation in South St. Paul has been unusual for the last 25 to 30 years. About 30-some years ago, we were devastated by Swift & Company and Armor & Company and the stockyards pulling out of our community. We lost 7,000 union, good-paying jobs and accounted for about 40% of the tax base in our community. We were the only city in the state of Minnesota that I'm aware of is declared as a second-class economically depressed community. There are no other communities in the state with that designation. We've been fighting very hard to come back, and it has not been easy. And you could say this TIF goes back a long ways, and that's true. But a couple of problems we've experienced is the stockyards just closed about half a year ago. So we weren't able to take that land and do stuff to this day with that property, and that's a lot of about 29 to 30 more acres. Another issue that has really slowed down our efforts in this TIF district is the not finishing the Wakota Bridge on time. You know, it's right contiguous to this property, and that's just been terrible. You can't get in and you can't get out. You got to go this way and that way, and so we're trying to make a case. I know a lot of members don't like to go back some of these years, but we've got about $60 million projected in that region to be developed in the next 2 to 3, 4 years. And to be honest with you, this bill calls for about a 12-year extension. I'm not going to hold anybody to that, or nor am I going to suggest that we go that long, that far out, but we do need some more time, and trying to make the case that this is different. We're a depressed community. The stockyards in South St. Paul, like I say, just closed, so we weren't able to really move this money into that region, at least at 30, 40 acres, up until now. So I know it's some people might look at it as a little stretch, but we desperately need in South St. Paul a little stretch, and we need your help. And if you have the mayor here with me and an HRA director and a fiscal person from the district to explain a little further. Oh, and we do have a handout that might, I think if any folks have ever had your parents or grandfathers or mothers, all your cattle or sheep or cows down our way, I know Sedgum, your family did it from the hayfield area, right?
Mr. Chairman, ship them all to South St. Paul.
The best market of all, South St. Paul. Ship them all to South St. Paul. It may smell like, no, we won't go that far like that. It's been a struggle, and I'm old enough. I was on the city council when Swift and Armor closed, and it's a sign of the times, and that was our city. That was the backbone of our community, and so that's why we're here asking for a continuation on this effort. And Mayor, did you wish to add to it? I know you're very busy, but again, this is, I believe, you get a lot of requests here, I know that, but I'm trying to make the case that this one is very unusual because of the reasons I just presented.
Yes, thank you, Senator Metzen, and thank you, Chair Bach and Senators. I'm having deja vu. I was here in December talking about LGA. I think one of the key things to understand about this is this will assist us in trying to be liberated from LGA. We are very heavily dependent on it, and we took a hit, as did many communities this year and next year. But by continuation of the development, which we've not been able to finish, of this stockyards area, we will increase our tax base and lessen our dependency on LGA. So it's critical for us to continue to develop, and we need these kinds of funds. I think another thing to note, development in this area is not easy. It becomes very expensive because every piece of property needs to be remediated due to contamination, due to methane, due to oil, due to coal, and other chemicals. So it's not as easy to develop. We do need to offer incentives to get people in to take a look at this area. So I appreciate your consideration.
Yeah, there was a lot of, Mr. Chairman, members, there were a lot of, back in the 1910s and 20s and 30s, quite frankly, just about anything could go, you know, that is. And they were dumping stuff in this property. And when they tore down some of the buildings, we found some direct pipelines to the river, quite frankly, and things like that. So there are conditions down there that are hazardous materials there, and that's another factor in this discussion, is it?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have also a personal footnote to this bill. my father and grandfather were part of SWIFT management for a continuous period of some 80 years.
Yeah.
In the early 1950s, my father was offered a transfer to South St. Paul, and my mother vetoed it.
Oh, no, what a beautiful.
She said, too cold. The next year, my father was transferred to New Orleans, and my mother said, nice deal.
That's all right.
And I appreciate your efforts in this. And what happened to South St. Paul obviously was a tragedy for the city.
And thank you very much for those remarks. And, Senator Bach, I do compare it somewhat to, and Skoy, your districts up there where, you know, when the taconite and your plants went down and the devastation you folks went through. And I'm sure that you can understand the depth of this problem also.
So, Mr. President, what we're talking about is a 12-year extension that would generate about $21 million of TIF. Does the school board and the county have an opinion on this?
We talked to the school board. We will make the school board whole. We've had a brief conversation with the county. I'm sure they're going to have an issue with it, but
have an issue like probably not support it?
Probably. They are the county. So,
you know, we did last year allow, I believe, Minneapolis and St. Paul to capture the city portion of some pre-79 TIFs for some development they wanted to do. So we've got some legislative precedent for that relative to pre-79 TIFs. Madam Mayor, if you could kind of take a look at if you can could make a proposal like that work.
Okay.
Maybe we could avoid the ire of the county. If you could go back and just see and let us know.
And we could run the numbers
yep.
On that. See.
It'll be less, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
It'll be less, sure,
but
certainly.
But we need the help, and we need your help to move forward in that area, and it's. And that bridge is another 2-3 years out. You know, they had the problems down there. $39 million lawsuit when the first bridge wasn't built right. And that delayed the second bridge. And that's our main road to get into that area. And you got to go up another 8 blocks or so up by Fury Motors and come around. And so it's been a challenge in that region, too, because of the bridge and because of the stockyards just closing. So.
Senator Metz and the city of Duluth came to me with some pre-1979 TIFs also. And I know you're familiar with Duluth. It's the Canal Park area. It's a pretty, it's been a very, very successful project. And I indicated to the city that the project's been very successful. And I realize the city of Duluth has problems, but in their case, they had a very successful project. And I think your argument's probably stronger for an extension than theirs is, but we'll try to give that some consideration, but I think it would be helpful if you could kind of take a look at how capturing the city portion might be able to at least in some partial way resolve the problem.
Or probably if we could convince the school district, maybe get two parts of it.
School district. It would be helpful if you could convince.
Oh, the county. I see Barry Till is in the audience, but we don't want him to talk here. He's from Dakota County. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate your help.
Any other questions, committee members? Senator Sundrum?
Mr. Chairman and members and Senator Metzen and all, I happen to be a fairly strong fan of TIF. You know, I look at your project here. I think, you know, lest we do this, you know, we'll come back in 50 years and you know, probably look like it is. And in my own community back in Rochester, downtown Rochester, I dare say would almost be slum-like had we not enacted a TIF project back in 1978. It took 20 years or so to build it out, but, you know, that money's all in the tax roll now. None of that investment would have ever happened without TIF. So it's a big but for, but sometimes you have to do these but fors to entice development community into situations, and it's a free agency market. They're going to be looking for
somewhere else
for opportunities, and but for we do this, we're not going to grow South St. Paul, and we ought to grow South St. Paul. So I just hope that we can do this as well as a number of these other projects.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members?
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Chair lays over Senator Metzen's bill, Senate file 226. Senator Lotz here. Members, I believe we heard Senator Lotz is caught up in some traffic, but he has Senate file 8 for the committee to consider. So, and we'll. So we'll get started without them. And members, this is our last bill today because Senator Murphy, who was on the agenda, is out sick today. So we'll have to reschedule his bill. But Mr. Moore?
Mr. Chairman, my name's Vic Moore. I'm representing the city of St. Louis Park. Senator Lotz has brought this bill forward to you. I have with me Kevin Locke from the city of St. Louis Park. The bill that's before you is a very simple bill. Right now, we have what we call housing improvement areas in Minnesota. This is an economic development tool that allows cities to work with townhouse associations, condo associations to improve their housing. That bill is set to sunset on June 30th, 2009. This bill merely removes that sunset. Mr. Locke could talk to you a little bit about the experience St. Louis Park has. This really isn't just a bill for the city of St. Louis Park. This is a tool that's used extensively by communities throughout Minnesota, particularly in the suburbs. I know the League of Minnesota Cities supports the repeal of this, and the state HRA Association also supports it. Kevin, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Kevin Locke. I'm the Community Development Director in St. Louis Park, and the Community Development Department is responsible in St. Louis Park for housing issues and has been involved in using the Housing Improvement Area law. And we have found it to be a very valuable tool. I think it was passed out to you here just moments ago, a little handout that has illustration and summary of the four projects or four townhome condo associations that have been helped in St. Louis Park. And I think you'll be able to see as you look at those pictures and the figures there that they're very modest housing for the most part. And in each case, we were really kind of the funding source of last resort in order to help the homeowners association make needed improvements. And in St. Louis Park, probably about 12% of our housing or 2,700 units of our housing are townhomes and condos, most of them built in the 70s and 80s, many of them getting to the point where they need improvements, and the values of these units are fairly modest, and the housing improvement area approach has really been a valuable tool as a way to help maintain that housing and both to maintain its affordability, but also to maintain its quality for our residents. So we very much hope that the bill repealing the sunset requirement would be passed. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I believe the sunset has been extended probably multiple times on this. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
How would you feel about moving the sunset out a little further?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we would follow your lead and take whatever you suggest. It just seemed like this is a good opportunity for lobbyists to come before you every 2 years to get that extension extended. Maybe you want to just put an end to that activity.
We don't want to do anything that affects people's employment. A lot of people unemployed out there already. Senator Dipple, is this a good idea?
Mr. Chair, I think I've advocated for this idea previously. I'm comfortable just removing the deadline, but if you're more comfortable with the sunset, I certainly understand.
Senator Resk?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we should get rid of it. I think that the notion that we are always favorable to extending the sunset says to me that we think those restrictions just aren't meaningful anymore. So I would support the bill as it is.
Senator Resk, did you put this original provision in law in 1996?
Probably.
And for some reason at that time you thought it needed a sunset. And you think it's...
And I think, Mr. Chairman, I think that often happens when we have things that come along like that we really are asking the legislature for a period of time to do due diligence over a change in policy. But I think it's been 12 years and that... proved itself, so let it go. That would be my take on it. But, you know, we want to extend the sunset. I go with that, too. I just want them to be able to do it.
I think there's a general agreement we're going to do something here. We'll just have to figure out what it is. Maybe we'll talk with the league about it a little bit, Ms. Nauman about it. Any other questions, members? Chair lays over Senate File 8 for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is that it?
Mr. Chair. Senator
Dibble. Ask Senator Limmer what he thinks.
Senator Limmer?
Being the only Republican in the room, Mr. Chairman, I was almost feeling neglected. By I would agree with you. We have to do something this year.
Sorry. Anything else, committee members?
No.
Next week, February 5th, we're going to have the governor's tax provisions of his budget in front of us. Commissioner Innes is coming in. And then we're going to try and only meet when we can fill up a calendar like we did today. So we probably won't be meeting twice a week yet. Senator Rest?
Mr. Chairman, are we going to have advanced copies of the governor's budget so that we can ask good questions? On the tax issues.
Didn't we email? Chris, didn't we email them all? Senator Rest, I thought our staff emailed out to the members of the committee the provisions.
Yeah, I tried to print that, and the font was like pinhead. I couldn't read it.
Senator Rest, we'll get copies for the committee. We tried to do it electronically. Apparently, that didn't work that well.
Large print for some of
us. Senator Rest?
I know. I have eyes.
And members, tentatively, we're thinking about bringing the tax committee to Moorhead on the 20th of February, which is a Friday, for a hearing up there. We thought a border city might be a good place to go. The Finance Committee is going to a whole number of communities. I hadn't thought about more than one for the Tax Committee, but not that we couldn't. So if you have some thoughts on maybe going to more than one place, we could do that. But tentatively, at least, if you could let our staff know if you're interested in going to Moorhead on the 20th of February, if we can find some interest and make sure we have a half a dozen committee members there, we probably will do that. So if you could just let the office know whether you'd be interested in going, we'll get a head count, see if we can put an out-state committee hearing together. Anything else, members? Senator Limmer, how's your wife?
My wife is good. She's back at work.
Good.
Bringing money.
Good. Good. Glad to hear that. Anything
Thank
else,
you.
Members? Next week, we've got the governor's budget. This committee is adjourned.